KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Well, you've heard us talk about Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School. In fact, I think we've had Charles Chavez, who is a security person for Calvary Church, former APD police officer. He has recently graduated with his friend William Lohr, and William's wife Samantha is in studio, and we're going to talk about the experience of going through the Shepherd School and how God is leading all three of you in ministry now. So welcome, TBQ Connect.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Just yesterday, I was guest speaking at a small church west of town, and I was telling them about the calling, because you've had us on, Scott, Pastor Scott and I, a couple times before, and we talked about the calling. And we were telling that church yesterday, it was even after a lot of physical ailments my wife had, she noticed several years back, and she said, I think maybe you should be a pastor somewhere or speak somewhere. We need to get further in ministry. And we struggled quite a few with, you know, whether it's I was a lukewarm Christian for a long time. Even off air, Jim was talking to me about my police career, and I said, you know, Jim, I know I was saved because I would be convicted when certain things came up. But when Jim asked me about did I rely on looking for the Spirit in my career when there were certain things in police work, and I said, actually, I was a very lukewarm one back then. He got my attention through my wife several years ago when she was saying, I think we're called to something more. Right now, and after we had finished Cross Christian Shepherd School, just in the last couple of months, Will and I, my wife and I are starting a thing what we call, right now it's on Facebook, called Journey to Counting It All Joy. Brand new Facebook page. We have gotten the YouTube channel going, but it's, I think, under her name. We're trying to change the name. It's a few logistic issues. And what I'm doing now after Shepherd School, I hope to do that. Just like I said, we were guest speaking in a small church yesterday, and we focus a lot, my wife and I, on marriage and family ministries. We've done a lot of marital counseling or pre-marriage counseling, even here at Calvary over the years, for several years. And we'd like to guest speak at churches, whether it's just guest speaking for a small church that needs a substitute for the week, or we can go give talks on marriage or family-specific issues. And after Shepherd School, it's really prepared us for this next step in our ministry.
I kind of had fun meeting your wife and your boys at the graduation.
Yeah, we were able to fill up a whole row of tables. I mean, I brought a few people, not too many, but yes, our family did fill up a few chairs that day, and we're really glad you were able to come and see what Shepherd School graduation was all about, Jim.
Well, we have Scott Tom, Pastor Scott, on the radio pretty frequently to talk about what's going on at Cross Christian. He's hosting a show now, again, on the radio station, and we're always blessed by, you know, his Bible teaching. And the reason I wanted to get you two together, William, I didn't meet you the other night when I went to the graduation.
No, but I saw you.
Okay. Well, I saw you too, because you were up. You were up top. It was a pleasure today to meet Samantha with you. And you guys have William Lohr Missions.
Correct.
.org.
Yes, sir.
Is the name of your website. So you actually have a ministry in place. Why did you decide to attend the Shepherd School?
So I needed additional sharpening and equipping, right, to not only further my studies in the Lord, but I also needed it to use on the reservation in ministries. I needed to become a better leader. I needed to become a better husband. But primarily, you know, my family is my first ministry. And so when I started to think about things, I'm like, I need to quit listening to YouTube videos. I need to find something that's going to give me some structure, some discipline, and challenge me. And that's why I chose Cross Christian Fellowship and the Bible College.
And did it do all those things for you?
Absolutely, it did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had some basic structure from business, right, working for myself. But in regard to the Bible, I absolutely needed more equipping.
Now, I'm right? seeing Samantha smile a little bit when you said your family's your first ministry.
Yes.
Can I say a disclaimer right now?
Sure.
I am not going to take responsibility if he says anything that requires him to sleep on the couch after this show. Hey, Ed, look, yeah. So the host of this program, I was divorced after 26 years. I consider that to be one of my greatest failings. I have 5 children. I have been single for 15 years. And, you know, that's a different thing. And raising, you know, divorce is really difficult. It's a difficult thing. And so, Charles, you start off with, hey, we're helping families and couples. That's an amazing ministry. The reason I'm emphasizing these things is because our listeners right now are in many cases married couples. Maybe they're a little bit younger and attending a church, and they feel God putting a calling on their lives, but they don't actually know what that is. So let me ask the Lohr family, what is that? Why are you doing what you're doing?
I struggled most of my life with application from the Bible. I was raised in the church. My dad's a pastor, and I've been around the church a long time, since I was in the womb. But I got distant from God throughout my early 20s, and I really struggled with what it meant to be a Christian. I didn't really understand. And what I needed to do was I needed to understand what application looked like and what serving looked like and having the heart and the character that I needed to as a Christian man, as a leader in my home. And for the longest time, I couldn't figure out how to do it. And that's where I can honestly say I struggled the most was like, hey, I'm an alcoholic. I'm sober 9 years, right? But I'm a new creation in Christ. Right, Charles and I were just now talking about this.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Right. I said, do you identify yourself as an alcoholic? Because, yeah, we say, behold, all things are new in Christ. So
yeah.
We don't like to identify ourselves of the past sins. I mean, if there's things I did in the past, whether it was looking at naughty magazines or something, I don't say, hey, I'm a fornicator. You know, that's stuff in the past.
Yeah.
But so when the Lord called you, and now that you guys saw there was a need for this specific mission, Jim was saying about Will Lohr missions, how did... Samantha react when, or was it her idea to look at that need? Or have you even said what Will Lohr Missions is? Is that to serve who?
Sure. So we are on the reservation, and Jim, it fell into our lap, to get back to your question. It fell into our lap. I had another missionary that I was working with, and he wasn't able to contribute and be out here anymore. So it fell into our lap, and I had some contributions where a business partner came to me and said, hey, I have X amount of money and I want to give this to you. Okay. And when you said earlier, we don't understand what God is always doing in other people's lives. You just mentioned this earlier to me, and you don't, but you share the gospel anyways, right? And you share with people. And I had sent out a late message, a last message to multiple different men saying, hey, I'm starting William Lohr Missions. Thank you for you guys listening to me and letting me send you messages, but I'm not going to be able to send them anymore. Okay. And I got a text message back from this guy. He says, hey, I want to give you $10,000. And so for me, I didn't even know what to do with it because I had just been contributing ourselves. That was part of our mission. We go out there.
You're working at another job.
Huh?
But you're serving Native American communities.
Correct.
Is that
correct?
Pretty much all around New Mexico?
Primarily Western New Mexico.
Western New Mexico.
We'd like it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not there yet.
Yeah. Samantha, I need to allow you to comment on some things.
Sure.
I mentioned earlier that you smiled when he said his family's his first ministry.
Yes.
But I teased you both before we started the show that you're now married to the perfect husband.
Correct.
And that, there's a really big smile there. Charles said something. Well, Will says, look, I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I think that there's a lot of people listening right now that have something.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to look at pornography, or I drank too much, or I have anger problems. And I know God is either in the process of changing me drastically or has already done so, and I'm growing. What kind of frustration will people have if they allow themselves to be pigeonholed by that old sin that God has washed away?
Yeah, well, I think the number one struggle when you're going through a very dark and hard time is you do feel alone. And with that loneliness, like you tend to start with victim status.
Yeah.
You want to be the victim. You want people to hear and understand that what's happening to you isn't right. And it's not. But I mean, I know for sure, I pretty much picked many different paths to try and make myself feel better. But at the end of the day, like, that's where God is beautiful, because that is the only direction in the path. And to the people who are listening, like, these little messages that you hear randomly when you're just driving in your car and flip to the station, or maybe you know, meet somebody at a cafe and they say those words to you, like, that is God speaking to you. And he is just telling you that you can get up and you can pick yourself up, and he's going to guide you the whole way. Like, nobody ever said it would be easy through the path, but eventually when you get through the valley, you're going to be able to use it for his good and his glory. And that's part of the reason why we love going out to the missions, because we can understand people in their dark moments. We can see it now that we're on the other side. And we just want to be a tool for the Lord to just build and grow and develop the path of where he wants them to be in their life, so that they can do the same thing, replicate the same story.
Yeah, that's a good point, Samantha, because that's something we were talking about in a sermon yesterday when we spoke west of Albuquerque, was your past experience. You were telling me about the valleys, or not me, you're telling us, all of us now, about valleys and rough times you may have had in the past, and now you're able to apply it on the mission field. So I guess that's what I'd be asking. You've seen that as a big tool, your past experience, and now how you can relate or use that to help others, right?
Oh, I would not be who I am today without those valleys that I had. Like, that's how I relate with people who are going through their struggles. And the Bible talks to us about using our trials and tribulations to glorify him. And that's part of it. Absolutely. Yeah.
I've got a good friend that has this quote. He says, if you can't talk about something in your past, you are not free from it.
Amen.
And it can be a powerful tool. But I think we're going to take a break, but and say thank you to our sponsors, because they're very important. They help underwrite everything going on here at the station. And I hope this is ministering to you as you're listening right now, because three people in studio seeking God's direction in their lives and serving and trying different things. And I can tell you, in my own walk, I tried different things that I pretty soon knew that's not what God wants me to do. But you still need to try things and do things and pray together. And like you said, it dropped in your lap in a certain way. So we're talking with William and Samantha Lohr and Charles Davis. They have recently been part of the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School, and they both are involved in ministry now. So I think this road that they're traveling is something valuable for us to listen to. And we're going to have them all the way up till 2 o'clock. So I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect.
Welcome back. I'm Charles Chavez here in the 88.3 studios. Of course, you know Jim Williams, your host. And as a graduate of the recent Cross Christian Shepherd School, I'm here talking with one of my classmates, or one of my graduate mates now, Will Lohr and his wife Samantha. Will and I have just graduated from Cross Christian Fellowship's Shepherd School. Remember, you can look at that. Cross Christian right now is recruiting for their next Shepherd School. They're going to start out this summer in August. And you can go to www.crossfellowship.org. Right there at their main page, there's a spot to click about the Shepherd School. And Will and Samantha here in studio with us. You can go to willlohrministries.org. And Will and Samantha are ministering mostly in the Navajo Nation, but to natives in western New Mexico. And go to their website, remember, willlohrmissions.org, and you can contact him on how you may be able to help him or people you may know that need the help.
I need to qualify one thing. I think it's William spelled out, right?
Yeah, correct.
William Lohr, L-O-H-R. Let me go through it. Yeah. W-I-L-L-I-A-M, L-O-H-R, Ministries.
Missions.
Missions. I'm sorry. Yeah, Missions. I'm blowing it. Missions. Okay. And you guys are doing things in the Native American community. Samantha just said something about lived experience.
Yes.
And during the break, Will, you mention, hey, things that my wife had to tolerate from me may be helpful now on the mission field, because Native American communities, I don't think it's a secret, but there are a lot of addiction problems. There's mental health issues. There's various things that are going on. How does your own experience with addiction help you speak to them?
I'm able to look beyond
the addiction and actually see somebody for who they are. And I believe that's what Samantha was able to do for me when I was struggling with my addiction, right? And now I'm almost 9 years sober. I didn't know who I was. There was many times that I didn't. And when I can help people, I understand all aspects of what addiction can do, what frames of mind it can take, and what it's really doing to the other families, right? You can see through the blindness, right, of people. They're not, are they really having the best interest of their families in mind, right? How are we helping as a missions team to really share the gospel to them? But I can relate to people, Jim, and I think Sam can as well. And I think it makes us a really good unit to help folks out. We have really good discernment. That's what this requires. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit gives us when we're out there. We have the discernment to work through people and see beyond the addiction.
Samantha, can I ask you a question about these two men?
Sure.
So they've completed a 2-year program.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a list. Mm. They talk about practical Christian living, how to overcome sinful habits, how to develop holy habits, I guess, in place of the bad ones, morning routines. And this all seems really basic, but I think it's training you, like lifting weights and learning in school. Mental and spiritual health, steps to battle depression, healing from trauma, purpose in your pain, best steps to feel when you feel like giving up. These are real life things that you guys are dealing with here. So do you feel like now, and I know you know Charles for 2 years.
Yes.
Would you say both of these men, you'd be able to recognize if they're going off in a bad direction and you could be used by God to bring them back?
Yes, absolutely.
And they're submitted to that, right?
Yes.
So the value you have as a wife has just increased, it seems like, to him exponentially.
Yeah.
And I say that because I know so many people that think about, oh, the man, he knows everything and this and that. That is just like the opposite of what is true.
Right.
Right? Isn't it?
Well, that's a good point you bring up, because the more aligned in Christ that my husband is, the more I don't mind him making decisions, no matter how large they are, for our family. Because if it's in alignment with Christ, it's going to be in alignment for our family.
Mm.
So by him equipping himself and choosing to make those steps to equip himself, it completely creates trust in our marriage, to where I'm able to then play out my role the way God intended.
So you see a big difference in this man from, let's say, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
A big difference. Yeah. So that's what a very unique thing of Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School is. As Jim listed those topics, it does include many of the major seminary topics of eschatology.
I got a list of those too.
Yeah, so those. But
you're doing all the theological things that a seminary would teach,
right? But these ethical things, the ethics are some of the, and character issues are some of the unique things of the school. Even though we do all the theology issues, but the ethics. Watching the character, and many pastors, there's falls nowadays, and we've talked about that on a past show when we were on here with Cross Christian Pastor, but that's something that before we go in the mission field, we hope to have our character under control somewhat.
Is your wife, Charles, right now, does she feel better about your accountability to her and your family than she did 2.5 years ago?
Yes, I think my wife would be able to answer that. I think for me, it was even a bigger leadership change. I have always been, and I may not look it in my physical appearance, somewhat of a timid person, even though maybe I have whether it's a deep voice or I'm a 215-pound guy, and I don't look that way, but I my leadership is where I lacked, and that's something I think the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School improved me on. My wife probably say there's a little bit more prayer together, initiative in being the spiritual leader is something that I was just lacking as far as my lower leadership, where I was probably lazy would be a lot of my, and that's where this 2-year program, and it's really like 3 years of seminary packed in one, or packed in two, three years packed in two. But that's what's made a big difference on me as the leadership, But like as we said, the ethics and character development is something that makes it very unique from other schools.
Yeah. William, when you're talking with people in a different culture, mm-hmm. I'm assuming most of the people that live on the Navajo Reservation.
Correct, correct.
The Navajo Nation, mm-hmm. Dene also, they're referred to. Different culture than maybe what you have in Albuquerque. Is there such a gap that it's difficult to minister, or do you kind of earn the right to be heard and you're there, I know, meeting physical needs? And so tell us all the things that you do in that community.
Sure. We are absolutely helping with necessities, basic necessities, right? There's a lack of water, right? We help with showers. We've partnered with the church out there that helps give showers. All right. But there's absolutely a development of trust. It's taken, 3 years? And we've earned trust, right, by way of showing up and being consistent. And I think that speaks volume, not only for anybody in the business place, in church work, any type of church work, but also in missions, right? There's somebody that's dependable that they can rely on. And I think that's what's huge about what we do.
Do couples lose hope when one of the spouse or partners is addicted? Does the other partner lose hope? And can you both speak to that with them?
Yeah, I'm absolutely, they do. I think it's a big downer, mm-hmm. I guess, for the whole family, right? When somebody, and I relate, like I said earlier, back to myself, right? It was not a happy place. Home was not a happy place for us for a few years.
Did you ever feel at that time when you were going through it that you could be free from it and now it would be a tool for your ministry?
Not until the later stages, Jim. Mm. Not until the later stages. But I think that's where God comes into play. And I know that Sam saw that in me, right? She saw that there was a different man inside of me. There was a man of God, right, that was there. Because there was a long time that I struggled with low self-esteem for a long time. And sometimes that's what this life is about. Paul tells us it's not always going to be easy, right? This specifically wasn't for us, my journey. But like I said earlier, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. And that, to kind of wrap around to your question, it is hard. It is very hard for the spouse, and we see it, we hear it, we physically feel it, right? We feel the oppression, right? When we're out there, I get calls.
I don't know if this would be true. I know there's a lot of peer pressure for younger people to get involved in drugs and alcohol, social media and all of that. Is the Native American community you're working in affected by the same things? Is it a cultural influences pushing them? Or is it there's a general sadness? There's a spiritual warfare of some kind going on.
Yeah, I think the main part, it's within. That's the biggest struggle. I don't think that we've come across a household that there's not somebody that's struggling with it. And unfortunately, the kids start to develop the same habits and cultural, addictive behaviors at a young age. I think that, you know, parents even use it as a tool to kind of bond with their kids, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge part of us, not just like trying to navigate through the addiction. We also are trying to let children see something that's completely different than everything around them in their culture that they see on a day-to-day basis. I'm trying to make, you know, God unique and stick out in the most positive light so that when it hits them, they can understand and see that there's a difference between what they've been raised and cultural scenes since they were in diapers versus what we're preaching and talking and sharing.
Will said earlier that you take your kids to do the work that you're doing.
Yes.
How have they responded?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
They love it. They love it because I was trying to close what we learn in Shepherd School. I'm going to try and tie this in the best that I can. We learn the character gap okay? Mm-hmm. And I believe that when there's a change in character, then there's a change in conduct. There's some actions.
I need to put us on hold for just a second. I want you to talk about the character gap. I just need to take a break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be back on ABQ Connect right after these messages.
This is Charles Chavis. Welcome back again here in studio with host Jim Williams. And I have William Lohr of WilliamLohrMissions.org. And he serves the natives in western New Mexico. And as I said, I am Charles. My wife and I have started a ministry called Journey to Counting It All Joy. You can see it on our Facebook page, which is that title, Journey to Counting It All Joy. Will and I are both graduates of the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School. They are recruiting for their next class starting this August in crosschristianfellowship.org. Right when you go to that website, it's going to be one of the first options is to view information on Shepherd School. We were just talking off air about how Shepherd Schools, one of their most unique thing is focusing on character. And that seems to be something we're applying now in our graduate missions.
Well, we're going to talk about character. I want to talk about that in depth, but Samantha said something earlier, and as did you, Will, about involving your children. And off air, Samantha said that your children are now even involving their school.
Yes.
And actually meeting the needs of a lot of people. Tell us what they're doing.
Yes. So they are doing service learning through their school. And we went ahead and made sure to create 100 care packages. With usually the essentials that a lot of, lower income families, especially on the reservation, don't have. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be putting together those packets along with a little encouraging note student to student about what it's, you know, what's going on in their world today. Because generationally, it usually tends to change. So what relates to me is not going to relate with my daughter who's, 16 and heading this up. We also get our kids involved because she's usually the one that creates the lesson plan for the kids while we're out there.
I love it. But I'm also thinking that there's maybe youth group people listening now, or there's moms that are trying to figure out, gee, what's a project our youth group could do? Would you guys take some volunteer help in your missions program?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. 505-288-7771. You can call that number or you can text us.
And that's Samantha and William Lohr, L-O-H-R. And they have WilliamLohrMissions.org. And WilliamLohrMissions at gmail.com is a way to reach out to them if you want to do that via Gmail. Mm. Charles, let's go now to the topic of character, because all of us have seen the big super sensationalized, this pastor of this giant church somewhere has fallen because they were having an affair or they were embezzling money or whatever. And those things are tragic. It's absolutely horrible for the people involved, their parishioners, and everybody. What does the Shepherd School talk about in terms of character for pastors?
Sometimes it seemed like several weeks in a row. That's actually one of the first, they call it terms or 9-week courses. I think he calls it modules. The first one is about being a shepherd. And when he talks about leadership and a shepherd, one of the biggest things we're taught in there every week on that 9-week module is as a leader, you have to have your own character and ethics in order. And then we have a whole other module about ethics. So there's very few schools that focus that much on ethics and ethics, like what do you do? Why is this wrong? Well, what does the Bible say? So it's very all biblically based. But that's the problem, is many places you go out and you learn theology and eschatology. Those were actually my two favorite subjects out of the ologies that could list, was theology and eschatology. But you come out of there, but if you didn't focus on that character and it's reminded every week in the courses there, you come out of that, and then that's why it's easy to slip. Whether it's nowadays, a big reason people slip, I think, is, I mean, there's always been sin, but it's easy with, I think your phone is right in front of you. That's what makes a lot of pastors nowadays, is it's very accessible, so it's not as private. I think back then, if a pastor wanted to, whether it's go to an adult place or even, get with other women, they would go in a private place, whether it's adult stores hidden or alleys and stuff. You knew of ministers in it. But nowadays, it seems like it's so easy to do it from their own home or to connect with you know, whether it's with women or something, in ways a lot of people don't even know, in secretive ways. And we talk about that in class, about your secrets and how your so many of your sins are your secret sins. I mean, there's things that we can do and everybody watches me, but so much of the things in our life are those things that we don't even tell people about. So that's what's focused a lot too on character, is pay attention to your personal life too.
What do you think about when Scripture says men confess your sins to one another?
I love that.
Does that actually work?
It creates accountability. That's what I love
about it. Does it keep you from sinning?
I don't think it's going to keep you from sinning, but it might keep you from sinning less contributing to
the sin. I guess what I'm asking is, I think some people think temptation is sin.
Yeah.
When a temptation comes, that's not sin. It's what you do with it, right?
Even Jesus was tempted, but he didn't sin. Yeah.
Here's what I mean, to piggyback, I should say, what Charles was saying is, I believe that for me, when I first, I should say, rededicated my life to the Lord, right? I was working, something happened, right? And the biggest change that I saw in me was, for the first time ever, I did not want to listen to the same music, right? For the listeners out there, like I didn't want to do that. And right, for me, as when I was drinking so heavy, I had to change how I came home. I didn't take the same way home. I didn't take the same route home, the same path, for nearly a year, because I would stop there every day. And so I stopped these habits that I had. You got to stop some of this stuff. You can't continue to have the same habits.
Was anybody else involved in making or helping you stop?
In regard to what?
Well, I guess I'm getting the sense that maybe Samantha was saying some things to you at home. Maybe that wasn't.
I think it was beyond that.
Oh, it was.
It was. I think we had kept things together, right? For the most part, we had moved. We actually had lost our home. I should say that we lost our home. We lost the home because of nearly a bankruptcy, and lost my job. So that's a whole nother story, but.
But you guys have been through some trials.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. The reason I think it's important that you shared that is because there's people right now, maybe they're sitting on the couch, maybe they're at the kitchen table, and they're going, boy, I really like this discussion, and these people sound like they're really sincere and God's really doing great things. And I want them to feel like God can do great things with them, and he can, can't he?
Oh, he can, absolutely.
I think at the end of the day, like you got to start to make some decisions, like, are you actually believing what you're hearing and applying it? Is there a change in your character? Is there a change in your how you're conducting yourself? And I think that's a huge, I know it's small, but for me, changing what I listen to daily was really a huge step, because the enemy has a huge foothold in a lot of people in the music that goes on in this country. And we continue to listen to it. Even as Christians, we can continue to listen to it all the time. And I stopped. I started listening to sermons, audios, and eventually led me directly back to Shepherd School through my youth pastor that I saw at a gas station right over here on Wyoming.
Yeah, that reminds me of what you say about changing your habits. I actually found that whether it was through Shepherd School and even after now, I can't minister the same way if I'm stuck in those same habits. If I'm looking at certain things on the phone or taking too many drinks in excess or any of that, I felt kind of hypocritical. Because I was in school, and then whether it was I was still looking at things or involved in certain habits, I almost felt real guilty if I did that. Or I just felt like, now is it time to prepare sermon notes now that I'm out of school and we're doing some guest speaking at different churches. I really can't focus on that God's word if I'm doing that other stuff. And you can have these habits, and then I just like can't even pay attention to God's word. So it's so distracting. And that's where when you have something that you really focus on the character, it helps you get through your mission. Because you're being so hypocritical if you, or not you specifically, but if people stay involved in those habits after going to a school and they want to go minister, it's just not going to be sincere. Because when you're out there in the mission field, they can tell if you're sincerely living the life.
Well, and listen, like at the end of the day too, when you start to look at children like ours, children aren't listening to you. They are watching you. Mm. more often than not, my kids, they listen, don't get me wrong, like, but they watch what I do. They watch my conduct, right? And I believe as Christians, they're doing that. I always go back to that change of character that has to take place. And it's absolutely essential for the Christian life. When you know that you need to get up and do something, you need to do it. If you don't have kids, there's things that you can do. Get involved in your church.
Does it matter if you're 16 or 70?
No. Age is not going to define you. It's just not going to define
you. Amen. Hey, we're visited in studio today by William Lohr and his wife, Samantha. They have a ministry called WilliamLohrMissions.org, and they are ministering to the nations, and they're working largely with the Dene Nation and sharing the gospel and meeting physical needs. Charles Chavis graduated with William from the Shepherd School at Cross Christian Fellowship. Of course, as you've listened to this program, you've heard Scott Tom. Pastor Scott is on and actually is hosting a Bible teaching program now on the station. We've got another 10-minute segment. I wish we could have you guys for another couple hours because we wouldn't have any lack of things to talk about. But we've got about 10 minutes. I hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back. So glad you're with us this afternoon. Charles Chavis and William Lohr, along with his wife Samantha, are in studio. Charles and William are both graduates of the Cross Christian Fellowship Shepherd School in Albuquerque. They are right now looking for students. Charles, how do you sign up if you want to be part of the Shepherd School?
Really, the simplest way is go to www.crossfellowship.org. That church's main webpage, it's right in front there about Shepherd School. You can click the Shepherd School information or Cross Fellowship's phone number, 505-990-7588. So that's crossfellowship.org, and that's for their Shepherd School. It's about a 3-year seminary packed in 2 years. They do all the eschatology, theology, apologetics, but a big focus on character like we talked about earlier.
And I think there's another ingredient here, which I have very little of, and that's patience. So I'm going to ask Sam and Will about this. Are you both experiencing what it means to wait upon the Lord?
Daily. you know, I think it's human nature to get a vision or get an idea and or somebody just share something with you and you try and run with it. But I think it's good to just constantly remember that God's timing is always way more important than your own. And, you know, we all have testimonies and stories there where we can look back and realize just how true that is.
You know, I know a lot of ministry stories. Like, for example, Pastor Skip Heitzik at Calvary Church. Skip was studying the Bible, doing some things similar to what they've done with the Shepherd School out with Chuck Smith in Costa Mesa, California. And at a point, he decided that he was called to be a pastor, and he made a visit to Albuquerque, and he was working, I guess what you could call in a tent-making kind of situation where he was a radiology technician. Didn't take a real advanced degree, but he worked, and he started a midweek Bible study, and then it grew, and then it became a church. William, I know you're working. You're doing some insurance.
Correct.
And you know, as this grows, at some point it's going to take over both of your lives because the need is great. They always say the harvest is plenty, right, but the workers are few. And one of the reasons I wanted to have all three of you on, and maybe I'll direct this now to Charles. Charles, how can our listeners help you in what you're doing? You're going out and helping pastors when a small pastor in a rural community has to go maybe to the hospital, or they've got to go out of town, or maybe they need a few days off. You're going out and teaching for them.
Yeah, that's the ministry my wife and I are called right now, is to substitute speak for small churches. They don't have the resources maybe that some of the bigger churches have, as far as maybe if these guys want to take a bit break. So kind of a respite speaking, and we are reachable. My phone number is 505-362-0138. And I can do guest speaking at your small churches, or our email, usually on my wife's is easier, which is Chavis, C-H-A-V-E-Z, 4, as in the number, Chavis, 4, Y-O-U, Chavis for you, at hotmail.com. And contact us that. I have said that we do have a Facebook page up called Journey to Counting It All Joy. And that one did remind me a moment Jim started this segment with patience. And that's where my wife and I had named that Journey into County All Joy Ministries, because a lot of physical ailments and even child rearing, or when she grew up, she had a lot, grew up in an abusive situation. So she had to go to James chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you face trials of many kind." And then the next verse goes on to say, because it helps you test your faith to build perseverance, which means patience. And that's how we started the segment, with patience.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, at least the NASB talks about character being the overall summary of what this develops. And so, Samantha, you had to be patient with your husband. He fought an alcohol addiction.
Yes.
And then he gets fired up about serving the Lord, and you both got fired up, but you have to have patience because you know the need is great.
Yes.
The nations you're ministering to, they have a lot of needs. Of course, the whole world, everywhere, across the street from church has great needs. Maybe people, many people in the church. So now you're wanting to really serve people and meet physical needs and spiritual needs. What's day-to-day now in ministering to the people you minister to?
Well, we tend to go out once a month to minister to them right now.
Okay.
But if we can find other, you know, other reservations or other communities, I think that's where we would try and kind of bounce around in our day-to-day. But we're trying to keep the consistency by meeting with them in person so that we can give them all the needs they have, including showers and things that we have resources to that they don't. And we meet with them once a month.
I love that. During COVID, I was meeting with a couple of different people. We were going out and chopping firewood and taking tractor loads, you know, semi-tractor loads of firewood, especially up near Gallup. And, you know, Rehoboth School actually served as a warehouse during COVID because it was shut down for Samaritan's Purse and Convoy of Hope. And we were delivering fresh produce and other kinds of food substances. Samaritan's Purse set up a hospital. So it sounds like you guys can get in the middle of all that kind of thing at any time somebody has a need.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you do? Are you teaching now, Will? Are you able to teach people in the Bible?
Yes, absolutely. When we go out there, we do. And Davini shares part of it. There's games that we do. We take out food. We do music. We pretty much do a extended church service. So like what you would think would be an hour of church service here, it's out there 3 to 4 hours, right? So there's time to get showers. There's time for us to spend time, get to know them, play basketball.
You're music. Playing God's anointed game. I like that.
Right? So we have a good time. But you know, Jim, I was thinking about what you said about character and what people can do, and I think I needed to grow where I was planted. I'm right here. I'm in Albuquerque. What can I do? Right, even if it's just in your home. I was a broken vessel. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. And I didn't know what to do. But I really did. I started to cultivate some different habits, man. Prayer, getting up early, going to the gym. Those are small steps in the right direction. But I do know if you're struggling with addiction, I want to speak to those people specifically right now. There is hope. There's absolute hope out there. And I got 9 years worth of it. Right here. And I really want to speak to those folks, knowing that you can change those habits. And they're little, but they're huge steps in the right direction.
What a blessing to have all three of you here on ABQ Connect. I hope you'll entertain coming back and giving us an update. Maybe we'll do that early spring.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you all for joining us. Bye-bye.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.